What's going on, everybody? Welcome to an episode of the Video Game Bang, Sacramento's self-proclaimed number one geek and gaming podcast, as voted on by the people of Sacramento Magazine and Podcast Quarterly.
Those are both lies.
You don't know that.
He's going to go on the internet and lie to people?
Yeah. That's 90% of the internet. 95% of Tinder. You heard her voice, everybody. Emma Skies is in the house.
Hello.
That was, I built up that intro and it was very, hello.
You know what? Go fuck yourself.
There Taylor is back.
What's up?
Welcome back, Taylor. Good to have you.
Yeah, always fun to be here.
You wearing your Shock jersey?
Oh, you know it.
I'm also wearing my Shock shirt.
I think he does know it because you're sitting right there.
Yeah,
you can see it.
If you're watching us on twitch.tv/videogame_bang, then you know that I do know it because I am sitting right next to him. He's wearing his Kingsguard hat, who unfortunately did not have as good of luck as the Shock today. But Curtis is here, everybody.
We were close, man. We didn't lose by a lot. But I saw, well, Webb, you were watching that game too, and you were up in there tweeting and everything. Let's go, Kingsguard. Let's go.
I had the Shock game up on the projector at Oblivion, and I had NBA 2K on my phone. And I personally, my teams, I went 1-1 today.
Hey, 50% ain't bad in sports. Hey, that's 500, so you're good.
But yeah, no, you're right. Kingsguard, they almost squeaked it out. They were super close. What was the Bucks? The Bucks, what seed were they?
The Bucks. So it was in this particular tournament, I don't remember what seed they were, but I remember that both teams got out of the first round. So mm-hmm. that was the
that was a semifinals.
I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah, because. Because I think it was the Bucks that took out the Pacers, and the Pacers were like the number one seed, and I think the Bucks were like 16th seed. And I was like, damn. And then the 8th seed got beat by the 9th seed.
Yep.
It was quite a match. But yeah, so but good job, Kingsguard. You guys, I know you guys listen, and you guys did well. We are sponsored by Energy Esports, Vast GG, Mainframe USA, and Oblivion Comics and Coffee, which is where I was today watching the Shock game. They also have beer, so Oblivion Comics coffee and beer and pastries and new paninis.
Ooh. Are we going there tomorrow?
Yeah, let's do it tomorrow. Mother's
let's
Day brunch.
It. Yeah, let's do it. I did Mother's Day today.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day if you are listening to the show on the podcast version. Happy Mother's Day yesterday.
I know my mom listens. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Ms. Mom.
That's our Mother's Day right there. That's our Mother's
Day.
That's it. That's what happens when you live across the country from your mother. That's your Mother's Day.
Oh, that's your Mother's Day. Do you want to take a minute to like?
No.
See something? No.
No.
Okay. Like, have like a mimosa or something.
No.
Like a virtual mimosa.
The moment's gone. The moment.
Okay.
It's gone. Love you, Mom.
Corey is actually in.
Not here.
Yeah, he's not here. Where is the tournament? Is it Burbank?
Burbank.
Why did I think it was in like New York or something?
Why
for,
would
like,
it
the
be in
finals?
New York?
I thought it was gonna be like for like the
this
finals.
This is a riveting conversation.
This is a stage.
Oh, it's just a stage.
Just riveting.
Corey's in Burbank for the Shock finals. They went 4-0 today. They had to win.
Yeah, they did.
Best of four maps.
First of four.
And they said, okay, we'll do it in one game. And 20 minutes later, it was over. They played the Spark.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Well, they played somebody. I don't know if it was actually the Spark because they were just kind of like.
I think it was
them.
Their juniors team.
It was junior. It was the Contenders for the Spark because they just got steamrolled.
I feel like Contenders might have actually contended.
They may have held their own. So Shock moves on to the finals tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah, so Saturdays are web talks, and we do a topic of conversation. And this week, I thought it'd be cool to talk about gaming sequels, video game sequels. And it's all in light of the new Ghost Recon Breaking Point that's coming out. That is the sequel to Ghost Recon Wildlands.
This is not Punisher the game?
It's not Punisher the game.
I mean...
Are you sure, though?
No, I'm not.
It might be Frank Castle, the game.
It's Frank Castle. I mean, actually, he is a good guy that then kind of becomes a bad guy.
So it is Punisher the
so
game.
So it is Punisher. That's why they canceled the
If
Netflix
you're missing
series.
The joke, the guy that plays the Punisher, John Bernthal, is in this new Ghost Recon game.
He is in the new... Yes. And so Ghost Recon Wildlands came out a couple years ago, and I was talking about this with a good friend of the show. I don't know if you guys have heard of him, Aaron Carter. and Steven Gutierrez.
Yeah.
They're that's good friends. Yeah, they're fans of the show. And we talk about it, about how good of a game this is and how we feel it went under the radar. Taylor brought up a good point in the pre-show, how they just had a poor launch, which I think they did. There were a lot of bugs and glitches.
But what came out at the same time, like shortly after?
What was it?
There was something that came out and it
got eclipsed by something.
It didn't give them any time to recover. It wasn't The Division, was it?
Oh, was it The Division? No, Division
was it their first expansion?
Maybe it was their first expansion. I'll let you guys look it up. Ghost Recon Wildlands, it came out. It did have a rough launch. I know initially the driving mechanics, the flying mechanics were awful. It was almost like, I will walk the virtual 20,000 miles across Bolivia instead of trying to fly in a helicopter to go to the next mission. It's just going to be easier. And but they fixed all that. And just the sheer open world, it's open world, like the epitome of it. Great example is, so I'm behind in the missions. Steven and Aaron have already beaten, like, either beaten the game or beaten like 99% of the game. And there's a mission where you had to fight your way up into like a stronghold. And so that's how they did it. And it took them a few tries and they wiped a couple times and a restart. Then when I played with them, I go, why don't we just fly over here? So in a helicopter in the dead of night, we flew up to the base. Nobody saw us. Aaron parachuted down, interrogated the guy that we needed to be interrogating. I landed enough for him to jump on, and then we flew away and did not have to shoot one person. And that's the beauty of this game, is there's no right or wrong way to do 98% of the missions. And so the sequel coming out, Ghost Recon Breaking Point, is taking all of the great things about this game and just kind of building upon it. So it's still going to be open world. It's going to have the same mechanics. You're going to have vehicles. You're going to have drones. You're going to have all the cool stuff, except they're going to make it a little bit more survival-based, so you're going to have stamina, which you have stamina in Wildlands, but it's only known by all of a sudden you're not sprinting anymore, and you're breathing heavily.
Like, oh, there's no like on-screen prompt for it?
No, there's no on-screen prompt for it. Now there is. Now there's a HUD, and there's a bar that goes down, and it looks like you're about to die. Also, when you get injured, you have to bandage yourself up. You have to drink and eat things in order to maintain energy and stamina. Lots of cool things like that. I was talking before the show, one of the cool things that they're doing is, first of all, they're putting smoke grenades in the game, which as a player, you don't have access to in Wildlands. And you in the trailer, you can drop, they dropped a smoke grenade, and their teammate was down, and instead of having to sit there and heal them like you have to do in Wildlands, you could pick them up and carry them to cover and then heal them.
Hey, that's cool.
Right? And then when you're healed as that injured player, you are back up and you're standing, but you're not at 100% health. Then you have to sit there and you have to bandage yourself up, and you have to like take some water or whatever and then get back into the fight.
Nice.
But the really cool thing how they're doing this is the DLC that's coming out for Wildlands very near future is basically setting you up for the sequel, and the DLC is free. Like,
So they're gonna make you pay for DLC before you have to play this.
No, it's free. It's completely free.
Pre-order bonus.
Pre-order bonus. Yeah, but it's Ubisoft.
Oh,
yeah,
good for them.
All of the DLC for Wildlands has been free, and they did a Predator. Are you shocked?
I'm making a face that there's free DLC.
That's free DLC. Crazy. Yeah. It's insane. Who knew? Who knew that you could just, you know, put content out and support
your players? Also, I checked the same month as Ghost Recon Wildlands was Breath of the Wild.
I saw that.
And Nier Automata.
But there was something that, like, filled that shooter void.
Mass Effect Andromeda, same month. And then, I think the thing that really killed it, I think the one that really, like, eclipsed all those, Rock Band VR came out the same month.
Oh, shit, that was it.
That'll do it.
That was it.
That did it.
That's a game I totally knew existed.
Rock? Nut.
Why are you calling me out like that?
What's the point of that?
What is the point? Okay, before we get too far off on Guitar Hero VR. So all the DLC has been free, and what's cool is, so this one that's coming out, it's going to set you up for what the sequel is going to have, and you in one of the missions you play as a character who then in the sequel is the antagonist. So basically, this is setting you up for the sequel, and you find out why he's the antagonist in the sequel, and then you go and play the sequel, and there he is. You have to fight him.
Fair enough.
He's also a ghost.
I'll be pissed if it's because his family gets murdered.
He did have a skull patch.
The original fridge.
Super, super ragey.
One of the things in the trailer that did not make a whole lot of sense to me is they added stealth into the game. And by stealth, I mean you're in the mud and you hit the button to activate stealth and you roll on your side, take some mud and wipe your face and then just don't move. It's the equivalent of Drax eating Cheetos and saying that he's invisible. You're still in a bright-ass red t-shirt in the mud in the middle of the jungle, but magically the mud on your face makes you invisible.
That's how it works.
That's, yeah. You know.
Yeah, it worked for Schwarzenegger in Predator. Just put a bunch of mud on.
They're fine. They're also in a made-up island this time around. In Wildlands, they were in Bolivia, and Bolivia was pissed. Because the whole country of Bolivia was pissed.
They took a poll.
And Reuters reported that.
Reuters.
Damn it! I thought for sure I had it right this time. I was even gonna look at you like, yeah, I got it right this time. Fuck. Reuters took a poll and said the joke's gone now. Bolivia was pissed because Ubisoft painted them in like this war-torn, drug-filled country. Which, to be fair, I mean, it might actually be. I've never been to Bolivia. If you listen in Bolivia,
I was about to ask.
Tweet the show at
and yell
What's
at David.
Up Pizzas, and go ahead and tell me if I'm wrong or not, and tell me about how great Bolivia is. All that to say, so this week we wanted to talk about video game sequels, the good, the bad, the pointless. I do have a list, 15 pointless sequels. Before we get into that, I thought it would be cool to go around and talk about some of our own, you know, favorite or non-favorite sequels. Emma, let's start with you. What are some sequels that you enjoyed playing?
The first thing, when I think about a sequel that I loved, I think Halo 2 is like the obvious one, because we all are obsessed with Halo here. Yeah. So Halo 2 is like the obvious one that we're
setting
all like, you all know we're going to talk about that. So that's like, that already exists. We all know the reasons for that. But the first thing that comes to mind when I was thinking about this, Dishonored 2. Mm-hmm. I am obsessed with that franchise, and I was like, not worried for 2, but it's one of those where you're just like, you hope it can live up, and it really, really does. And it's like the same thing you're talking about with Wildlands. Like, it takes everything that was really good about the first game, it keeps all of that stuff. It doesn't, you know, take out things that you don't want, but it keeps all of the good, and then it just builds on it in a way that doesn't feel it's not too much, it's not pointless, it's not like we just wanted to change this thing so we changed this thing. Like, it's so fucking good.
See, so when you have companies who did Dishonored,
the Arkane Studios and Bethesda.
Really?
Yeah.
So I was gonna do a whole bit about, like, you know, game companies and just make it up, like, oh, we'll just call it Bethesda, who doesn't know how to do a sequel to a game and keep all the good. But so they know how to take a sequel and build upon the good.
Yeah.
And they just said, fuck you to Fallout, and we're gonna do whatever the fuck we want.
To be fair, Arkane did it very, very well.
Way more credit to the developers.
Yeah, Arkane does it. And then Bethesda gives them a name and gives them some money. Yeah.
Okay.
But Arkane is really good, because Arkane did Prey as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So no, Dishonored 2, have you ever played Dishonored?
No.
You did, right?
Yeah.
Have you played both of them?
I played a little bit of the second one because I didn't own it, but it was everything that you would hope for.
It's so fucking good. So fucking good. And
I've seen you play it.
I felt the same playing like BioShock sequels, where it was like, this is a better game building on the same story.
Interesting, because I have BioShock 2 in my bad sequels list.
Interesting.
BioShock 2 is terrible.
It's also in...
I have Fallout 3 in my bad
fight
sequels
me
list.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Interesting.
So we'll get to there in a second. We'll get to there in a second. But why is BioShock 2 on your like good sequels list?
No, I just think it was a good sequel. I felt the same playing BioShock 2 that I did playing Dishonored 2, where it was like, this is a fun game that builds on the first.
I felt like BioShock 2 was... it didn't build enough on the first. Like, it rehashed a lot of plot points. It rehashed all the mechanics and, like, didn't really give you anything new. We talked about this, I think, a couple weeks ago when we were talking about BioShock. BioShock 2 was so, like, literally forgettable that I forgot playing it.
That was Mass Effect 2 for me.
Yeah, you did. You did talk about that. How you were like, I don't remember any part of this.
But I have all the achievements for finishing the whole game. And I could not fucking tell you what that game's about.
That's Lord of the Rings scene.
I remember the big sister. I remember she screams. And that's about it. That's about my memory of that game.
The little sister.
No, the big sister.
Oh, the big sister.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The,
oh,
they're
yeah.
like
See, here I am forgetting
version
about
of the
it
big
too.
Daddy. Yeah. See?
Ah.
Okay, a little controversy. So why is Fallout 3 on your bad sequels list?
I think it's a terrible Fallout game. So is 4. So is New Vegas. So is every Fallout.
So VGB is not associated
Whoa,
with Taylor at all.
Well, hang on. Let's clarify.
I think that Fallout 3 and everything beyond are good games. I don't think they're very good Fallout games. Because 1 and 2 were so phenomenal in their genre that to completely change the genre on the entire fan base was ridiculous.
But at that point, you have more that are the other kind than are the original kind. So isn't it that the original two are now not Fallout games because they're outweighed by the amount that are the other kind?
That didn't make any sense.
Because now you
so
have...
are the originals no longer
yes.
what they are?
Because there's
a sociological debate in
New Vegas, 4 and 76 versus 1 and 2. So you have 4 games versus 2 games.
Okay.
So don't those 4 games now make up what,
if
mean,
those
what it
4
means to be a Fallout
games
game?
Could give me as much entertainment and fun as 30 minutes in one of the other two, then maybe.
Fair enough. I got nothing. I played... It's the same thing. I played Fallout 3, and I was like... I went to play it again, because I was like, I think I played like 5 minutes of this, and I never finished it. Like, I just want to play this again. And I went back in, and my save file was like 22 hours. I was like,
oh.
What?
Yeah. Oh, I sunk a ton of time.
I was like, I don't remember any of this.
Don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed playing Fallout 3, but I felt like, I was like, this should just be called something else.
Fair enough.
Curtis? Should be a different game.
True. We're doing sequels that we like right now.
Either or. Fuck it. There's no fucking... We have no...
We got time. I don't have anywhere.
There's no rules.
We have no rules. We have no structure. We're clearly very prepared for this.
For sure.
Just give us your general thoughts on sequels.
Oh, man. So for me, it's easy because a sequel that I think is good just happens to be my favorite game of all time, which is Resident Evil 2, the original. It was everything that everybody enjoyed about Resident Evil 1 and, you know, the little extra content that we got in Resident Evil Director's Cut. They took all of that and they took it to the next level. And they didn't take it so far away. I mean, they didn't really take it far away at all, but they made improvements with the graphics, of course. The puzzles got better. I mean, just everything was overall just more gratifying. And I love the fact that we got two whole different discs of content this time. So whereas before you could start your mission in Resident Evil 1 as Chris Redfield or as... Jill Valentine. Oh. Yep. Okay. No. You got Claire was on the second one, so you could do Claire and you can do Leon in the second one. Mm-hmm. But you got two different discs, so you got way more content to dive into both of them. And how different? And that's the other thing that was great too is they made both of their missions that much more different in the second one. So I just love still love to this day Resident Evil 2.
What's a bad one?
Ooh, a bad one. Let's see. Do I have to dig that much for that one? Oh, I use so little of my time playing bad games, but if I had to think of a bad one, I guess I could just jump out at... So this one was so bad that it didn't even come out, although I did eventually get to play it, and it was the original... Super Mario Brothers 2.
Mm. That's actually on one of the lists I have for one of the 11 worst video games.
Oh, no way. Well, yeah. There you go. I mean, okay, so it's that bad. I mean, it's so bad that they... And when I say bad, it's not that the game was engineered bad per se, but they took a game that people really enjoyed and they made it way too hard. Like, way too hard.
2 is very hard to play.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I got the Mario Lost Levels, and it was like some levels that they didn't put in the game, and then the original number 2, which only got released in Japan as mm-hmm. Super Mario Brothers 2. And I jumped in. I was like, oh wow, this is really interesting. And I just remember, like, I couldn't get far at all.
Yeah,
it was just angering. And I just remember I just didn't really play it after that. So I would say that would definitely be my probably worst sequel of all time.
Was that your first rage quit?
That probably was my first rage quit. I mean, it's old enough. Wow. Yeah. Wow. You just took me back to Marina, California, 1993. Yeah, that was probably my first rage quit.
I was just there.
Were you?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
All right. Well, shout out to the 831.
The year is
1993.
Focus on young
Curtis.
Curtis
is going to smash everything.
It will be the first and the last time he smashes everything.
So what are some of the... throw some out there.
All right. So I think
Zelda 2.
Some of the good ones...
Halo. To what?
Zelda 2.
Oh, I thought you said there's only two.
No.
Zelda 2 as good or bad?
Terrible.
Yeah, fair, that's enough. On the worst.
It's a side-scrolling game.
Ooh, that's wrong.
Is it?
It is.
Why?
Excellent question.
Good question.
I think that's what everybody was wondering.
Well, I've gotten two bad ones from you. So what are your good ones?
Spear of Destiny is probably my favorite sequel of all time. It's the sequel to the original Wolfenstein.
Oh, okay.
So, oh, wow. Wait. Oh, you're talking about the OG
like
Wolfenstein
the old
on PC?
One.
Yeah, this is when... yeah,
wow.
It's a DOS game.
That's the first...
DOS was an operating
I'm
system.
I'm aware of that. Fuck you.
Yo. I mean, Spirit Destiny came out in, like, 92. Like, it's real
I've seen
old.
Office Space, okay?
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So it's a super old game, but I absolutely loved it. But it's one of those sequels where you didn't need anything changed, so they didn't really change much. And it was still just as good as the first.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Wolfenstein. Oh, gosh. I didn't realize that was a sequel to it because I had played that game.
Yeah.
Well, I remember Wolfenstein. I was on the bus in, gosh, I don't even remember what grade. I was in second grade. And my bus driver was like, I was talking to him about video games. And he was like, have you ever played Wolfenstein? I was like, no. Literally the next day, he brought me a red floppy. Well, the second gen floppy that wasn't actually floppy.
Oh, the hard,
classic ones.
Yeah.
The save button.
Yeah. He brought me one of those and I took it home. Well, I took it to my grandfather's because he's the only one that had like a laptop that I could use at the time. Played the heck out of that game. I had no idea that
twist.
Was a sequel
yeah.
to.
So Spear of Destiny is the
wow.
sequel.
Wow, sick.
Wow.
Good to know.
You know, it was one that changed a lot of how the game worked, or at least how the story was structured, but was really good, was Crash Warped.
I loved the Crash games.
They're so good. But Crash Warped is so, like, it's structured so differently from the first two games, but it's the best one. I will fight anybody. That, of the original trilogy and the Crash games, Crash Warped is easily the best one.
I'll have to play them again. They're so much fun to play.
I would say to play the reboot, but don't. Don't. It's really bad.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Like, Crash Warped in the reboot is fine. But the problem was that when they were putting all three games into one, they wanted to make it, like, fluid from game to game. But that's not, like, the games came out so far apart, and, like, you know, when they originally released, there were changes in how the games worked, there were changes in physics, there were changes in controls, but they wanted everything to be the same game to game to game. Okay. And instead of actually going through and changing anything to make it like that, they just took all of the controls and the physics from Warped and put that into 1 and 2. So it's ridiculously hard.
Oh,
it is infuriatingly difficult because the physics don't work right in the first two games. I haven't finished. I did not finish. I've only played Warped because I played like a few hours of the first game and it was just maddeningly difficult.
Yeah, I heard that was a really big downfall.
It was really bad. The Spyro reboot was really good, but the Crash one was really bad.
See, I think there's only like a few bad Zelda games. And there's so many of them, right? There's all the ones for the CDI that are just terrible. Like, just not even worth looking at.
Wait, those are the ones that were, like, animated?
Yeah. Some live action. So some of them are animated, but, right. like, one of them, Zelda's Adventure?
I've never played a Zelda game in my life. I think so Zelda's Adventure. I have no idea what we're talking about.
Oh, wow.
Hers is the worst, because it's, like, live action.
That's crazy.
Oh, no. Was it, like, one of those FMV games?
No, I mean, there's just, like, while you're playing around, it's just bad.
Is it like Myst?
Now you have to play it. No, it's less. It's more real time than Myst.
Oh, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
That might be a new VGB segment or like show that we do, playing really terrible games.
Oh god.
Oh, it's one of the worst.
Speaking of really terrible games, how have we not talked about Duke Nukem Forever?
Oh,
that's on the list.
Of course it is, because it's like the worst sequel ever made.
Yeah. So
can you imagine waiting 20 years for that game?
13, but you know,
we'll bounce.
It was
back.
All 13 of your years when it came.
It was.
Out, right?
It was all 13 of my years. No, I remember getting that because I was actually excited. I liked the old Duke Nukem games. that I had been able to play.
Duke Nukem Terrible. Forever.
But every Duke Nukem so game bad. Is bad. Like, but like, it has to be bad. There's nothing just, serious about it.
I don't know. I felt like Duke Nukem Forever, like, the game, like, the story is always supposed to be pretty stupid. Like, that's just the genre, the style of it. But, like, the mechanics of Duke Nukem Forever are really bad.
Yeah.
And the story is, like, over the top horrible.
But there's a lot of expectations for modern shooters compared to, like, old school shooters.
What year did that come out?
Does it say? Does this say? It does not say.
I know it was 360.
So to go with our conversation, I have a couple of lists pulled up. 11 worst video game sequels of all time and 11 greatest video game sequels of all time. But we can go through this as we talk about our own and kind of debate whether these are wrong or not. But on the list for the 11 worst, Duke Nukem Forever. And the first sentence, tell me if this rings true to you guys. There are many reasons that playing the infamous Duke Nukem Forever is like dipping your hands in a warm bag of someone else's piss.
That's about right.
Oh, wow.
That's about right.
I did not play any of the Duke Nukem games, so...
I played various bits and pieces of, like, old Duke Nukem games, like Duke Nukem 3D and that kind of stuff, but, like...
They were fun, but it was just...
It was very surface level, like, it came like a cult classic.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
people totally. Just decided that it was amazing.
It had the Leisure Suit Larry thing going for it, where it was, like, risque to play.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, because you could, like, take drugs and steroids and,
pay
you know,
strippers.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so all the stuff that, like, my mom...
Piss on people.
Yeah, didn't want me exposed to.
So Duke Nukem Forever came out in 2011, so it was 15 years after Duke Nukem 3D.
Nice.
Jeez.
So bad. I can't even...
I think 13 years since 20... they announced they were developing it.
Right.
2011 isn't as much as that far, that long ago.
It was 8 years ago.
I know. God, I'm getting old.
Yeah. I feel like you passed that one already.
Both of you are older than me.
You're old.
That doesn't change anything.
A couple of my favorites that I've played, obviously Halo 2, as Emma mentioned. I think, it's a gimme one. Smash Bros. Melee, I think would be a sequel that I really
I hear
enjoy.
That a lot. Like, Melee, that was the one on the Wii U, wasn't it?
No, that was the one
or
on
was
the
it the
Game
one
Cube.
On the
GameCube.
That was the one on the GameCube, which, and conversely, Brawl on the Wii is on my list of least favorite sequels.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
The controls were weird. It was wonky.
Is that why slipping. I don't see anyone playing it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the exactly stupid why. Slipping and tripping like, mechanic, you would just randomly slip
it's like
when
double
you're
dash.
Playing.
Is that...
No, fuck you. Double dash is amazing. Fight me. Double dash is on my list of favorite video game sequels of all time. I fucking love double dash.
Okay.
I like it better than the any of the other Mario Karts.
Whoa.
Yeah, fight me. Also, for the same reason that you don't like it, I like Fallout 3. Because I hated 1 and 2. I remember I played when I was like, first, like, I was like, because I casually played video games, you know, my entire life. But when I was like, okay, I'm going to get into this. I'm going to invest actual time into this. Mm-hmm. I was like,
all
right. Well,
it was all Fallout, downhill from there.
It was. Fallout is a really big game, so I don't want to miss anything. So let me start at 1, and I'll just work my way through the series. And I bought 1, and I was like, the fuck is this shit?
When do I shoot stuff?
When I shoot, I have to wait to shoot? No, that doesn't make any sense. The next day is when Steam announced their return policy. Yeah. So I was like, hey, return. Because fuck this. And then I talked to Corey, and he was like, no. You start at 3.
That's what everybody says. Start at 3.
It's honestly, it is a good game. It just has the wrong name, in my opinion.
You know what's like that as well is Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
Phenomenal sequel, but wildly different than Half-Life 1,
yeah.
Which I actually really want to play. I have Half-Life and Half-Life Blue Shift
what
and whatever.
What was the name of the town that you go through the really dark towns, like Ravenholm or something?
Yes,
like that.
That is the best level in that game. Oh,
I
my
loved
God.
It.
My shit is getting the gravity gun and all the fucking saw blades,
yes.
That is the best. Oh, my God. Half-Life 2 is so goddamn good.
I've never played any of the Half-Life
Can't
games.
Wait for it to end. Waiting.
Never gonna happen. Half-Life 2 is good.
Episode 3, it's coming.
Half-Life 2 episode 2 is good. Or no, Half-Life 2 episode 1 and Half-Life 2 episode 2. If you ever get... Do you have a 360?
No.
Do you want one? I got an extra.
Sure. Good. Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Because I will give you, well, not, I will let you borrow the orange box.
I know.
Anything you need, just hit me up. I might have it. You need Vive? Somebody's borrowing that.
Someone's borrowing
that. Can't have that right now. Half-Life 2 is fucking good.
Yes.
That is a phenomenal
absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely. And yeah, so I guess we're going beyond just like the second one in the series.
Yeah, right? No. Yeah, it could be any of the sequels that follow it. So like conversely, I would say I really liked GTA 5. Mm. Before that I played GTA 3, so it was a big difference for me.
Mm. But I mean Vice City was okay.
I never played Vice City.
Wasn't that the third? Oh, no, that wasn't the third.
Mm-mm. No, the third.
Yeah. I remember. That was the first of the 3D ones.
Yeah. It was the first
wasn't the first GTA top down?
So it was the
first
second.
Two, yeah. Oh, we're top down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yikes.
The strippers are really pixelated.
They changed the genre.
It's not GTA anymore.
It should not be
anymore.
GTA, guys. It should be, I don't know. Gran Turismo or something.
Let's not talk about Final Fantasy. Then.
Oh my god!
Oh, Lord.
You know what though?
Final Fantasy.
That transition
there's 17 of them.
Was so smooth.
It was.
There's
though,
way
I mean,
more
no
than
lie.
17 Final Fantasies.
That's ridiculous.
There's like 30 something.
I pulled that.
The only
out of my
experience
ass.
I have with Final Fantasy is the movie, the Spirits Within movie.
Oh yeah, I saw.
Oh
not.
Oh that
any,
movie.
Yeah.
Not even Advent Children.
No.
Oh.
Final Fantasy: The Spirits Within is my only. Interaction.
Like that movie was
like
that movie was dope, but it had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big advancement in like CGI
people.
Yeah. Now if you go back and watch it, you're like, oh Jesus.
Yeah.
The Uncanny Valley.
N64.
I
want
to watch it.
I played Final Fantasy 15.
But what's the best
that's
Final
many.
Fantasy?
That's too many games.
Why is it?
Stop
nine?
Making those.
honestly,
loaded question.
Honestly, I played Final Fantasy 15 a total of maybe 3 hours.
Ooh, you got me beat.
Maybe, and then I sold it.
Aren't those games
else.
All like 70 hours?
Maybe
if
you
rush
through.
Yeah.
Like to give
if you
an
don't
idea,
take the time to fish.
So you haven't played Final Fantasy games?
No.
Okay, so to give you an idea, like the speed runs for Final Fantasy games during like Games Done Quick or whatever, mm-hmm. I think Final Fantasy VII is still like 7 hours.
Yeah.
And that's like, when did that game come out? Like 20 years ago?
Yeah, at least yeah. 20 years
ago. I saw the comparison shots because they just put out the trailer for the remake.
Ooh, that's
I've
be fun.
Been living for the comparison shots of the old one versus the new
so they're,
one.
So they're completely different games.
Are they?
Yeah, the play styles are completely
lot.
Different, which is cool. I
oh,
think it's
no.
really cool.
I thought you meant like they're just calling it 7, but it's not even the same story or anything.
No, it's
oh,
the same story.
Yeah, same
but
story.
They,
but isn't that like people hated the play style of 7, didn't they? Like it was hard.
I heard it was pretty notorious.
Wait, Final Fantasy 7?
Yeah.
I loved it.
No. People loved Final
yeah,
Fantasy
it was oh. a 3D version yeah, was, of the classic style of
yeah,
Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it was
and
awesome.
That didn't change until 8?
Yeah.
I guess 8, it did change. Wait. It changed right away, I guess. Damn
wait,
it.
Did it change in 8?
Yeah, a little
I
bit.
I think, yeah,
the
it
interactions
did.
With the world was completely different. They introduced Blitzball
right.
or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emma, what are, I think we've all kind of talked about some awful ones, but I don't think you've talked about any of the ones on your list for the ones that you hate.
Oh,
you
well,
hate.
We talked about Bioshock 2 and Duke Nukem Forever, and my other one is a weird one, because it's like, it's a franchise where, like, the first game is really good, the second game is a phenomenal sequel, and the third game was terrible.
Lego Island. I knew it.
How are you just going to steal my thunder like that?
Is it, Lego Star Wars?
It's not Lego. It's the Tomb Raider reboot.
Oh.
Rise of the Tomb Raider is phenomenal sequel. I fucking love Rise of the Tomb Raider is better than the reboot Tomb Raider in every single way, which is hard to do because the first reboot is a phenomenal game.
I love that. It was the first game that I 100%ed.
It's so good. And Rise of the Tomb Raider, like, I spent, like, hours and hours and hours 100%ing it because it's, like, three times as long as the first one. There's way more room to explore. The game is just better in every single way. Shadow of the Tomb Raider sucks.
Ooh. Yeah, I heard it was not a great like successor.
That was and like you remember, I was like so excited. I was so excited.
Well,
I got like
yeah,
legendary edition of the game. I was so hype. Like I was like for months before Yikes. I was like, this is my shit.
You
this
were doing
so good.
You were doing cosplay like Lara Croft cosplay to like build up excitement
I was
for
so
it.
So ready, and then it was crap.
Do you think you just had way too high of expectations?
No, I think, I mean, that might be part of it. That might be why I felt so much disappointment, but it actually is, like, a much worse game.
Damn.
It's way shorter, especially than Rise. It's way shorter than Rise. And I got to a point where, like, I was super bored with the story. I just wasn't engaged. And I finally got to a point where I was like, I feel like I'm like finally getting into it. Like I'm finally starting to hit a point where the story is starting to build into something. And then I beat the game 20 minutes later and it was the end. I was like,
wow,
what the fuck was that? Like it took the entire game for me to give a shit about the story. The nice thing about it, and the only thing that was good about it, is it did get back to its roots, and that there are a lot more puzzles. There are more tombs to do. There are more puzzles, which is great, but it feels like they sacrifice time in everything else to put more tombs in. And then, like, you can get DLC for more tombs. And I'm just like, what the fuck is it? Like, it's a bad game. It's really, I was very upset about it. And, like, the longer I had to, like, ruminate on it, I was like, I just didn't like this. But, so you went from a really, really good sequel, which is one of my favorite sequels of all time, to one of the biggest disappointments.
Interesting.
What a bummer.
That constitutes a bad sequel.
Yeah.
Yep.
For sure.
And then I think the only one I didn't... Oh, Portal 2 is on my list of really good ones.
Yeah.
Oh, really
good
ones.
Sure.
Okay.
One Which of the, is... Yeah. Like, just, sometimes when, like, a decent game comes out and then the sequel comes out and it's usually better, mm-hmm. you know, but, like, Portal was so good, and for Portal 2 to be so much better was very impressive.
I still have yet to play Portal 2. Portal 1, I love.
It's so good.
But I need to play Portal 2.
You should play Portal 2, and then we can co-op it, because there's two different modes. Like, there's the story mode that you can play through, and then there's a separate co-op. Like, thing that you can go through.
I'll play it.
Can you
and
play
then,
Portal in the Vive?
Oh, my God. Let's find out.
You must, right?
Oh, my God. I want to do this. You can, like, walk. Something. You could walk through a portal in VR. This is blowing my mind.
You're going to get yourself. You're gonna get yourself.
Oh, my God. You can do that thing where.
You're
oh
never going to see her again.
Nope.
You put one on the floor and on the ceiling, and you're just falling forever, but in VR.
I feel like
I've been falling for 30 minutes.
Okay, Loki.
Oh my God, I have to find out if there's a mod for this.
Good Lord, I played the first one on PC and I got stuck. I couldn't get myself out of the portal enough. So I just kept like, and then like the more you go through, the faster it gets, and I had to do something to, like, turn the computer off because I was going to throw up. I was getting myself motion sickness. And you want to do that in VR?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I love how one of the things that I remember most about Portal is the way they explain everything, because, like, that's kind of, it's not the easiest concept to explain to younger people, especially. And one of my favorite things is they talk about the preservation of momentum. Oh, so, like, when you fall and, like, you make yourself go faster. And they just, like, speedy thing goes in, speedy thing comes out. And that's how they explained it. And it was so perfect. And I was like, I get this.
I just love the signs.
I understand physics.
The tutorial signs.
Sticking with the list of awful sequels, we have Pac-Man 2, The New Adventures.
I didn't know there were numbered Pac-Man games.
I didn't either.
Never this one's really one. Weird.
That's not a Pac-Man game. I'm looking at the picture of it. That's not a Pac-Man game.
Much like Taylor's distaste for Fallout 3 for what it did to the Fallout genre, Pac-Man 2 did the same thing. Took you from a top down to a side scroller, and you're in a town. It's interesting.
It's just not Pac-Man.
Oh, that's Pac-Man right there. Look at him. He's
that's
a happy,
a yellow
he's
blob,
yellow.
But it's not Pac-Man.
That's weird looking. It was on the Wii U Virtual Console. Speaking of the Wii U, another one on this list is New Super Mario Bros. U, which is
the Wii U just like a terrible generation or something?
Yeah, you want to borrow one?
Pretty much.
No, I really don't.
Pretty much.
It because of the way that it was designed, and I also think because of the marketing. Like you have like the Wii that sold so many units and whatnot, and then you come behind it and you have a thing that's basically almost named the exact same.
Oh yeah.
And then you got this, like, not a dongle, but you know, the I can't believe I owned the Wii U, and I don't even, the gamepad. Then you have the gamepad.
Yeah.
And that thing is supposed to be, you know, integral. That was really Nintendo, like, okay, let's try to adopt the tablet and like make it part of it. But they, I think if they would have put more money towards hardware, which Nintendo never does,
then they will have come out with the Switch, you know, five years earlier. Yeah,
exactly.
Always old technology.
Yeah, always old technology. Because that's how they are able to keep it at affordable pricing. Yeah. But the other thing was developers found it incredibly difficult to develop games for, because you had to also include the gamepad.
Yeah,
and it was
just
a mess.
Design, and that's. That's taboo.
So
hardware companies shouldn't be dictating design in games.
No.
New Super Mario Bros. U is on my list of 15 pointless sequels.
Oh, yeah.
And it says basically the same thing. It says it's basically just an expansion pack for the Wii game. Mm-hmm. The
Mario Kart 8
the in-game yeah right the in-game assets and animations are the same, the environments are the same, the gameplay is pretty much the same, like it's the same game, it's just now you can play on the tablet too.
I mean, to put it frank, the Wii U was coming out, they needed a Mario Brothers game
they did
to throw in there, so naturally what do they
Nintendo
do?
Nintendo makes the same shit over and over and over again.
This is true, but
sometimes it's okay.
Exactly. Sometimes it's okay.
So they say. You know what we missed in talking about sequels that like improved on the game in every single way?
What?
Sims 2.
Oh, absolutely.
What a phenomenal
Honestly,
sequel.
Most of the Sims games.
Yes.
I didn't really enjoy 4 that much, but
going
3
from
was
three
so 3
to
good.
4, going from 1 to 2 was massive change. Going from 2 to 3 was a pretty solid change, and 3 to 4 was a bit of a letdown.
Yeah, I own every expansion for 3.
Yeah, me too. That was that's why going from 3 to 4 was such a bummer, because 3 was out for so long and had so many expansions and so many different like packs and stuff, so that when you go to 4... it's just vanilla, and you're missing like 90% of what you liked to do in the game at that point. I'm
right.
just like, what the fuck? So that they can then make all the expansion packs again and sell them to you again. I'm like, if I were one to pirate, I would just pirate all
of
these.
I did think that Sims 4 played really well, though.
It did. It was, but yeah, like Sims 2 is like a massive technological advancement for sequels. Like,
I mean, we can keep it going for Maxis. SimCity 2000 was so good.
I had that game.
Oh my gosh, that game was awesome.
I had that game.
I'd build things up. It's a very Emma thing for me to do. I'd build things up and
just
I'd go,
tear them down.
Hurricane!
Yeah. How flood-proof is this town?
Ooh.
This is not
put in levees.
This is not up to code. There are zero levees. Who's
roller
the city?
Coaster,
but,
this is definitely Sacramento.
Tycoon 2.
I love all the roller
coaster.
Roller Coaster
Tycoon
games.
2 was the shit.
Oh, the roller coaster games.
Because then you would like make your park, and then there was the park that would pop up next to yours, and it's like, this park's doing better than yours. So you would make one that ends, but like not finish the coaster, and it shoots people off, but they die in the other park because it like catapults them. So all the deaths go to that park,
you
and your park's ratings
council.
Are better. And there, it's that's how you did it. Like when I'm telling you, if you play Roller Coaster Tycoon 2, that's how you fuck with the park next to you. It's trying to come up on your territory.
This is how we get California out of the deficit. What we're gonna do is we're gonna build something so when people die, they die in Nevada. That way it looks like California is the safest state to live in, and Nevada just gets fucked. Vote for Emma. City Council 2020.
I think that's my platform.
You're her campaign manager.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is it too far-fetched?
Just catapult the bodies like they're green skins or something like that.
Yeah, there you go.
Right over the state line. It's your problem now. California has the lowest death rate.
What are you talking about? Elon Musk lives here. Let's just fucking shoot everybody into
Reno.
Space.
Oh, good point.
It'll look like nobody dies here because we'll just put all the dead bodies into space.
That's when you
can't prove it. There's no body.
It's true.
That's frightening.
Elon Musk could murder somebody and we would never know.
You came up with that very quickly.
Even if
you
I
can't
knew.
Prove it if there's no body.
Like, there's, I have a Tesla, you know?
There's circumstance, yeah. There's, you know, there's
when you bought that car,
reasons.
You, like, signed on to be a character witness in his future trial. It's part of the contract.
Gotta read the fine print.
That's how you get, like, axed from the jury. It's like, do you own a Tesla? Oh, yeah.
if they never ask you, by the way, I own a Tesla.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for your time. Have a great day.
Yeah.
Oh man. Do you guys play any of the Uncharted games?
Love all of them.
Have not played any of them.
So I was
really
gonna ask you
to.
Earlier and then I remembered that we had talked previously and you said you hadn't played Uncharted. I was gonna ask if Uncharted was a better Crash Bandicoot game than the reboot.
Wow.
Because you can play Crash Bandicoot in Uncharted.
What? Oh, that's right. It's Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
What?
Okay, well, now I have to play Uncharted.
you got a PlayStation?
I do.
I have.
You want to borrow the Uncharted
I think
series?
I have them all.
Oh, okay, good.
I have.
Because they came out in like with like a pack for him for the PS4, right?
Yeah, 1, 2,
that's
and 3.
I have that.
Okay. Yeah, there's 1, 2, and 3 in the pack, and then.
And then I have Uncharted 4 too as well.
Oh, okay.
And I've never fucking played any of them.
Wow. Just sitting on gold.
I know. I have a lot of games I haven't played.
Destiny 2.
Good or bad?
I think it's a good sequel only because Destiny 1 was mostly incomplete until the end of it.
Yeah, until they start coming out with DLC.
So is that a fair, good sequel?
I think Destiny 2...
There'll be a lot of good sequels out there if that's the measurement.
Yeah, right? Destiny 2 is basically just Destiny. And the thing is that they undid a lot of the things that they changed in the first one. And Destiny 2, I didn't feel was... It was more complete.
So again, good or bad? I can't really tell where we're going here. It was a sequel?
It was a sequel.
It was good for Destiny fans.
See, I have fun playing Destiny, but I acknowledge that they make crappy decisions, and it's not the best game. And it's basically Halo reskinned.
The game was dead to me when they got rid of Peter Dinklage.
Oh, I was so mad! And there's
the
so
reasoning
many people
was
happy.
Just bad.
What was it?
It was like
he didn't
like
have enough
fan
emotion
outcry,
or something?
And they thought he wasn't emotional enough yet. There was
he's a fucking robot.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah, the defense is better than the argument. That's for sure.
It was so bad. I love the fact that it was Peter Dinklage, but yeah, no, I was pretty upset when they got rid of him.
Yeah, I don't know what anybody was expecting. I didn't expect anything more than we got out of him being a ghost.
Yeah.
So Destiny to Destiny 2, yeah, it was an improvement, river, but. The Division was such a good game, and The Division 2 is so much better.
So, I have heard that.
Oh,
I have heard that too.
It
was really the good. Division, I fell out. After I beat the story, I kind of fell out because it was a whole lot of end game besides just going into PvP.
Oh, that's the best part.
But the
it's ruining
Division...
somebody's day.
Wow.
For hours.
I played the beta for The Division, and that's all I ever played.
Oh.
Played the beta.
Again, I have the game.
Really cool.
I just never played it.
The combat in it is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, the cover is. Mechanic is
It's really
perfect.
Good. It's fun.
It's
and then...
everything Gears of War wanted to be.
And never was. Speaking of Gears of War, I have on 11 worst.
Is it 4?
4, it's gotta be.
It's
no,
four.
Judgment.
No, I'm pretty sure it's 4. Let me find it.
Because I never played Judgment.
Oh, hang on. Because I just glanced past this and I want to talk about this. Banjo-Kazooie, Nuts and Bolts.
Never played any of those
never
games.
Played it.
I played the first one.
I played Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, I played
Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
I love Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, Banjo was dope. It was a fun game.
I did not play Banjo-Tooie. I didn't know
that
that was
a thing. Is that what
That's
it's called?
Banjo-Tooie.
Yeah. That's upsetting.
Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts is described in this article as, if you showed someone the N64 classic Banjo-Kazooie from a long distance on a particularly foggy day, then ask that person to make another game in the franchise, the result wouldn't be dissimilar to Nuts and Bolts.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Since it's a perfectly competent game, but the problem is that it's so utterly lacking in any of the charm or fun that made the original such a blast to play, and it does not improve on the 90s platformer style. And this was announced in 2008. Or this was released in 2008.
I mean, you don't always have to improve on things.
Just don't make them be worse.
Myst
yeah.
has a
yeah.
bunch of sequels from way later. That
I saw
Myst
4
on
one of the worst sequels lists.
That wouldn't surprise me.
speaking of improving on things, the IGN logo got so much better than this old one.
The D-pad?
Oh, the IGN logo right there. Look how... The new one's so
that's
much better.
That's
a sequel.
This is now an IGN podcast?
No, it's a sequel to... It's a sequel logo, so we're still on
Sponsored by PC Gamer now.
Sponsored by PC Gamer, yeah.
This logo
we just
sucks.
Lost our IGN. all right, so what are some other...
There it is. There's you're scrolling through.
Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link.
It was so bad.
Just like Taylor said?
I played the first Zelda, but I never like finished it. Like that was back in the day when I was a kid, and so I would just play the game, and I never really kind of thought like, oh, there's an end to this. I would just play it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played Ocarina of Time.
Yeah,
I played a shit ton of
you
Ocarina of Time.
Skipped A Link to the Past.
I
a
did
Link to the Past.
Yeah,
I skipped all of them.
I mean, that's fine. It's fine if you don't play the whole series.
You play all of them, yeah.
If you started
one,
at Ocarina of Time,
of them yeah. the
you that wouldn't be such a bad thing.
And then I played one of the side ones on the Game Boy 3DS, something Triforce
Four Swords?
Tournament.
Oh.
Not tournament. Triwizard Tournament? No, that's something
that's
different.
That's Harry Potter.
The Triwizard Cup.
No, but there were, you play as three Links, just different colors, and then you could... Stack on top of each other.
Oh, yeah.
Like the guy
yeah, they
from
had,
Bojack.
Was that the Game Boy Advance?
Was it Game Boy Advance? Or I think it was the Game Boy 3DS. Maybe. I think they had one on the Advance.
Or the DS? The
DS? No, because it was on the 3DS when I played it.
What is happening?
It might have been the one that came out for DS, but you could play DS games on the 3DS.
So no, because it was new. I played it as a review, and I was a writer for Nerd Reactor.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Brag about it.
Yeah, humble brag.
Hold up.
Strange flex, but okay. Weird flex, but okay.
I was about to say Injustice 2. Okay. And I was like thinking, I was like, that was like way, way different. Like it was way more in depth. And then I remembered that I played Injustice 1 on the iPad. That's probably why it felt like a much bigger jump to me going from Injustice to Injustice. Because there was an iPad version of Injustice that was actually quite good. It was quite fun for an iPad game.
I'm still one of those people. Weird.
So if you go from Injustice on the iPad to Injustice 2, that's a phenomenal sequel.
I bet.
It's a really great upgrade.
I still like Mortal Kombat versus DC better than both of those games.
Really? I had a lot of fun playing those. I haven't played any of the Injustice ones.
They're not bad. They're fun. I feel like I shouldn't play them now that we know NetherRealm is a piece of shit.
Yeah, I feel guilty playing them. Going back to the list of pointless video game sequels, mm-hmm. Gears of War 4. Yeah.
I think Judgment was a much more pointless sequel than 4.
I love these descriptions. Gears of War 4 is the definition of fine. Does it add anything new to the standard Gears of War formula? Nope. You're still going to spend the entire campaign, multiplayer mode, and horde mode scuttling around, smashing into chest-high cover, and shooting chunky guns.
And chainsawing. Always the chainsaw.
That was one of the satisfying things.
Yeah. I actually didn't finish 4. I was so excited for Gears of War 4, and I never finished it.
Mm. I have not played any of the Gears.
I love 1, 2, and 3.
I've finished one Gears game.
Which one? The first one? That's good. I love 1, 2, and 3. Judgment came out, and I would put that as a much more pointless sequel than 4, because it's a completely different, like, play style, and it's different, like, it's different characters. They switched, I think that one focuses on Baird. I was like, who cares? Nobody cares about Baird. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Somebody did. Nobody just happened to work there.
Yeah. here's one for the pointless list. Halo 5.
I disagree on pointless.
Yeah.
I disagree.
There's arguments to be made for people that didn't like it.
Yeah.
But it's not like it did start a whole new story. Mm-hmm. It did start an entire new trilogy.
Let's see if you guys agree with the description. While Halo 4 was a pretty pointless sequel, it was also like a neat new flavor of Doritos. Unnecessary from a dietary perspective, and excessive after the heights of Halo 3, Nacho Cheese, and Halo Reach, Cool Ranch.
Cool Ranch is disgusting.
But surprisingly tasty and well-developed. Heck, it even acted as a nice epilogue to the narrative of Halo 3, wow. Albeit an unneeded one.
Heck.
You know who hated Halo 5?
Who?
Pro Halo players.
Really?
Why?
Like, the controls or whatever were just sloppy in comparison.
Halo 5 was... I liked it. I mean, it's different. I think it got very different
after. It's very different.
When the Master Chief Collection came out, they all started playing Halo 2 again.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Every one of them.
Every single one.
Our buddy did.
Immediately went back to Halo 2.
Absolutely. I remember when they shut down the Halo 2 servers originally, and there was like that one group of guys that were just like, we're going to stay on. We're going to stay on as long as we can.
Those nameless soldiers.
And I will remember them for the rest of my life. I don't know their names, but I will remember them. And Bungie eventually had to like physically kick them out of the server.
Argus, it's closed.
It's time to go, yeah.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
You're not even playing the game.
Yeah. But 5 was like, the only thing I hated, I didn't like the enemies in 5. I didn't like the Prometheans.
Okay.
Yeah. Hated them. Their weapons.
So irritating. I hated how they teleported. I hated everything. I hated everything about them.
But the story was fine.
Yeah, the story was good. Sonic the Hedgehog 4, Episode 2.
There's episodes?
Apparently. After the not-so-hot release of Sonic 4, Episode 1, it was time for Sega to hit the drawing board and pull out all the stops for Episode 2. That meant overhauling the jarring physics, the graphical look, level design, music composition, style, basically everything.
Is that where it started to become like that 3D animated, like smooth animation kind of shit?
I don't know, because I played very little of the Sonic
games. What's the one that they're playing in that Game Grumps video? Anybody? Nobody?
Describe it, because I haven't seen the video.
Where he's just talking about, what are they're playing, I want to say they're playing is, they might be playing a Shadow, but it's the not fucking this video, where he's like, you got to ask yourself, what are you willing to put up with today? Not fucking this.
Is it one of the like Wii ones or whatever?
I have no idea, but like whatever that game is, that game
fucking
sucks.
There was a whole game that centered around Shadow.
But Sonic was really good. Sonic and Tails. Was Sonic the Hedgehog 2 where they brought in Tails?
I think so.
Because that was solid.
That was a solid one.
And then Knuckles comes in also in 2, I want to say.
2 or 3, I can't remember.
Somebody in chat says I look crisp. That makes me uncomfortable. Don't know what that means.
Interesting.
No, the emotes, not the Emma.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how to take that, but yes. All right.
Someone's full of themselves.
So if we, you guys can hear the sound of the closing music. Before we completely go off, let's just leave with some final thoughts. One and two sentences of, you know, if you can sum it up this way. And what do you think makes a good sequel for a game?
I believe what makes a good sequel for the game is one of two things. Either A, you find out the core of what makes that the first game, you know, great and relatable, and then you stick to that, but just give, you know, slightly different take. Or you look at the game and you have to see, okay, how far in the future do we need to take it? And you completely make it so different, but you keep the characters that people like intact, the characterization.
Yeah. Okay.
Emma? I think absolutely keeping in mind what your core player base likes about the game and not fucking with that. Don't change that.
Said nobody ever.
I think keeping in mind, just one person. Keeping in mind what the core base of your game is built around and staying true to that, improving on what needs to be improved on and not fucking with things that are fine. Because that's where you get into trouble. It's where you're like, oh, we made massive improvements to this thing. It's like, nobody asked for that.
Nobody asked
for
this.
And now everybody hates it. What about you?
For me, it's a lot of the, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. But if you are going to change it, don't make it a story sequel, right? Like, make a whole new game. Sure, call it the same title or whatever, but make it a whole new thing, right?
Yeah.
Like something that Assassin's Creed, I mean, they all kind of have this story arc between them, but they're all very isolated storylines, right?
Right, because you had like one, and then you went into the Ezio trilogy, and then you went into Connor, like it was all different people.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
I forgot to mention Unity as a bad technical sequel.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was...
That was the awful one, huh?
It was actually a fine game. It just was buggy as shit.
They absolutely gave people nightmares with those, like, people's skin missing.
It was real bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really, like, try not to reinvent, you know, the predecessor if it's going to be a story sequel.
Yeah.
I have no problem with games really, like, remixing things like GTA 3 being different than GTA 2. I give Fallout 3 a lot of shit because I have so much love for 1 and 2. But it is a good game.
Says only Taylor.
It says only me. Yeah, yeah. I'm probably one of the few people that is upset about Fallout 3.
I you guys pretty much, you know, covered all the bases. I think it's important to listen to your player base, not just stray too far from, you know, from what made your original, or like, you know, even going further, like, you know, you got 1, 2, and then you're like, making a third. Like, what made the first 2 so good? And then improving on it if you can, but not changing it or taking it out, because that's what your player base is expecting. I think that's when a lot of game developers kind of start, you know, kind of shooting themselves in the foot, and they think like, oh yeah, this, you know, this went so well, let's make another one and we're gonna make it like brand new. And it's no, don't fuck with it if you don't
you don't
to.
Need to reinvent the wheel.
You don't need to reinvent the wheel. You need to break the wheel. Speaking of breaking the wheel, that is it for this show, guys. But make sure to check out our Bang of Thrones as we recap the Game of Thrones episodes of the week. You just get $1 on Patreon and you can have
tomorrow.
Access to it.
I'm scared.
I'm scared for my apartment.
You should be.
Because just bring your checkbook with you. You can get all the damage you want. Just, you know.
I'm a millennial. You think I have a checkbook?
Venmo me.
Yeah, there you go. Venmo me.
Take Apple Pay?
Yeah, Apple Pay. I'll take Apple Pay. Snap Cash. That's the thing, everybody. Snap Cash is the thing.
Snap Cash.
I'll send you money over Facebook Messenger.
That's fine. I do that all the time, actually. So make sure to check that out. $1 on Patreon gets you access to it. We are 2 episodes away from the finale. And this last one, we were not thrilled with it. It is almost 2 hours long.
It's longer than the episode.
It's longer than the episode, and it's all of the shitty things that happened in the episode. We break it down for you, so go check that out. Emma, it is Saturday, so you do not have a schedule for next week.
I do not.
Follow Emma on Twitter at EmmaSkies for her streaming schedule. Kurt, you have a streaming time
schedule?
A schedule.
I do not, but just expect some random 6-hour streams again now that I got my PS4 Pro and I don't have to do any ridiculous errands next week. Oh, and comic book reading. Yeah, expect more of that as well.
Taylor, do you have anything to plug / promote?
Just don't forget to spay and neuter your pets. That's all I got, man.
All right.
You missed a great opportunity to say it. You got a plug in my Tesla and charge it because I have an electric car.
I do. Yeah. Thank you, Emma.
You're welcome.
You're a good hype man.
Yikes.
Strange flex assist, but okay.
Yeah.
Weird flex, bro. That is our show, everybody. Thank you guys for watching. For Emma Skies, Taylor, Curtis Fisher, I am the real David Webb saying we'll see you next week.